Reynolds Journalism Institute at the University of Missouri. Welcome to Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. It's said that truth is often the first casualty in war. And for media in the Palestinian territories, where conflict has been the norm for more than seven decades, giving the public an accurate picture of the news is a huge challenge. In Gaza, where the Islamist group Hamas rules, Palestinian journalists must toe the line or face consequences. In the West Bank, where the Palestinian Authority is in charge, reporting on corruption or criticizing officials from the ruling Fatah party can lead to criminal charges. Meanwhile, Israeli security forces have become increasingly aggressive towards Arab media outlets. The Palestinian Center for Development and Media Freedoms says it recorded a record number of violations against the press in 2015. That included Israel's closure of three Palestinian radio stations and two TV stations. Meanwhile, Palestinian journalists are sometimes placed in administrative detention for allegedly posing security risks to Israel. On this edition of Global Journalist, we look at the unique challenges and barriers faced by Palestinian journalists and take a look ahead at what has to change for media freedoms in the Palestinian territories to improve. Joining us now to discuss the issue from East Jerusalem, Budor Hassan, a freelance journalist who reports for the Electronic Intifada and previously reported for Al Jazeera English and Middle East Monitor. From Gaza is Abir Ayoub, a journalist who has reported for outlets including the Times of London and the Israeli newspaper Haaretz. And from Johannesburg, South Africa, Sari Bashi, a former AP correspondent in Jerusalem, who is now Israel-Palestine director at Human Rights Watch. Sari Bashi, welcome to you. Can you just give us a picture of sort of the overall trends for press freedom in the Palestinian territories?
Sure. I think part of the challenges that Palestinian journalists face is that they are dealing with three separate authorities, none of whom is very good at tolerating criticism. So Palestinian journalists in the West Bank face restrictions by the Palestinian Authority, which increasingly take the form of civil or criminal charges brought against journalists, and certainly interrogations and detention by security forces. Palestinians in Gaza face intimidation, warnings not to cover certain issues, and detention and arrest, which unfortunately often includes physical abuse and torture. And Palestinian journalists working throughout Israel and the occupied territory face harassment and also physical abuse from Israeli soldiers. So in real time, in demonstrations, journalists, camera people are abused, hit, shot, unfortunately sometimes killed. And then apart from the live coverage, some Palestinian journalists deemed to be affiliated with groups that are hostile to Israel often face arrest and administrative detention, which is detention without trial.
And Abir Ayoub, you are in the Gaza Strip. We heard Sari Bashi mention the intimidation of Palestinian journalists there by Hamas. What can you tell us about how that plays out and what sorts of censorship occur there?
Yeah, when it comes to Gaza, it's kind of different because Gaza is not literally occupied by Israel, but it's besieged by Israel. So it has nothing to do with freedom of expression, but it's all about the government that controls Gaza, which is the Hamas government. Actually, I would say that journalists in Gaza do have self-censorship. I mean, they don't dare to go and write about resistance, write about Hamas violations and stuff, because they know now they have experienced that Hamas is not very, you know, easy with people criticizing it or writing about it. But this is, of course, not the only problem. To me, the main problem is that most of the local journalists are affiliated. And a journalist affiliated, of course, is not, you know, given the very right picture of what's going on. So, like local journalists, with time, they are becoming more, you know, aggressive against each other. I mean, if he's Fatah affiliated, then he's going to be writing about Hamas more. If he's the opposite, then he's not going to be neutral. I mean,
so in other words, the journalists are politically affiliated with Islamic Jihad or with Hamas or with other specific political movements and report from that perspective.
Yeah.
Well, tell us just a little bit about some of these areas that are off limits in Gaza, Abir. I understand that there isn't a lot of coverage of the tunnels that are dug into Israel or rocket attacks launched by fighters into Israel. Is that how can you cover issues like that?
Well, I would say that people, journalists, don't dare to cover such topics. If they wanna cover them, they would cover them carefully. Hamas also doesn't allow people to tunnel, so they can have this accurate coverage. But again, journalists in Gaza don't risk their lives to go and cover about local rockets or a tunnel found, because this is kinda would be considered as a collaboration with the occupation, and then you would be interrogated by security as a collaborator. And in Gaza, being a collaborator with the occupation is a stigma that will follow you and follow your children forever. So it's not easy.
And Budur Hassan, you're in East Jerusalem. You cover the West Bank. How is the picture there different from Gaza?
Because the main problem we have is directly with the Israeli occupation, since we live under occupation. And it has actually escalated since October, since the latest uprising in October, because Israel has been targeting journalists and not just targeting people.
Well, wait, I want to get to restrictions on Israel in a moment, but can you talk just a bit about the Palestinian Authority's restrictions on Palestinian journalists?
Yeah, I mean, the Palestinian Authority, which is in direct connection with Israel, and sometimes with coordination, Israel targets journalists, targets freedom of speech. While many in the West, especially in the European Union, would like to portray the Palestinian Authority as some kind of modernist, liberal authority that want to build a state, what the Palestinian Authority does in effect is just quell any form of dissent, target freedom of expression, and just target many journalists who oppose the Palestinian Authority, or who criticize the fact that the Palestinian Authority coordinates with the Israeli occupation. So this is the main challenge for Palestinian journalists, is to actually write about the violations committed by the Palestinian Authority, especially its coordination with Israel, without facing repercussions for that.
And Sari Bashi, could you tell us just a little bit about how this picture differs for Palestinian journalists and for foreign journalists? You worked for the AP in Jerusalem. How did your situation differ from the people around you?
Sure. I mean, I think when we're talking about violence by soldiers at demonstrations or kind of in the field, the most salient distinction is whether somebody is Palestinian or not, Palestinian or Israeli, Palestinian or foreign. And the Palestinian journalists, regardless of who they're working for, bear the brunt of the violence. And certainly if you're working for a foreign organization, you have a little bit more backup and clout in terms of protesting violence. So the Foreign Press Association in Israel vehemently protests every time one of their reporters is detained or beaten. But the problem there is that you have soldiers on the ground who are engaging in violence against Palestinians, regardless of whether or not they're wearing a press sign. Certainly, just to mention something about what Abir said about Gaza, I mean, I very much appreciate her perspective on that self-censorship problem. I want to emphasize that the self-censorship is not just about materials or subjects that we see in the Western press, such as the tunnels or militant groups. It includes what we would call just ordinary citizen journalism. So we're investigating a number of cases in which people were detained and beaten by the Hamas authorities for things that had nothing to do with Israel. In one case, it was a journalist who posted a Facebook posting critical of a hospital because a trainee doctor had delivered a baby by cesarean section, and the baby died, and it appeared to be a case of medical negligence. In another case, there was criticism of the Hamas authorities for not doing a better job of protecting a man with a mental disability who crossed into the Egyptian border and was shot by the Egyptian forces. And the argument there was that Hamas should have been protecting him and not allowed him to cross. In a third case, a journalist posted a picture of a woman in Gaza, a real photograph of a woman in Gaza looking for food in a garbage can. And he posted it and saying, the authorities need to do a better job of providing jobs and a decent standard of living for people in Gaza. Nothing to do with the occupation. But the authorities in Gaza have, like in other places in the region, cannot tolerate criticism.
Abir, I'll let you jump in on that point then.
Yeah, I didn't say that Hamas, I mean, we don't have self-censorship when it comes to Hamas. We do have it. But I mean, it has more like stigma when it comes to, like you are talking about local rockets being fired from Gaza. You are giving information to the Israeli intelligence. This is how it goes. But I'm not saying that we don't have this self-censorship when it comes to Hamas. I know, like many of my colleagues, I myself was arrested before by Hamas. Security, and I know like what I'm talking about, but I have colleagues who were arrested just for criticizing the policy of Hamas and how the government there is unable to grant job opportunities, the high taxes Hamas is imposing lately. So I know this is happening, and this is making it even harder, because we have Hamas and we have then the Israelis that we can't, you know, we can't cover exactly what we want to cover.
I want to remind our listeners you're listening to Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. This week, a look at restrictions on free speech and reporters in the Palestinian territories. Joining us from East Jerusalem is Palestinian reporter Budur Hassan. From Gaza, another Palestinian reporter, Abir Ayoub. And from Johannesburg, South Africa, Sari Bashi, the Israel-Palestine Director for Human Rights Watch. Abir Ayoub, you mentioned before our break that you have been arrested by Hamas in the past in 2014. Tell us why and what happened to you.
I was arrested once and interrogated tens of times. But the time I was arrested, it was because of an article that was published on Haaretz. And Hamas thought it was kind of, you know...
So you published an article in an Israeli newspaper.
Yeah, and like people were posting on Facebook that this article wasn't amazing. It was kind of pro-Israeli, however, it wasn't. And then I found myself being arrested by the security in Gaza. But I could fix it. But that was one of the hardest experiences, because when you are put in a place of detention, you are being abroad just to be accused, not to defend yourself. And I don't have to defend myself for thoughts like I have. But I wasn't the only one.
And what is this? What is it that you wrote about? What were you accused of?
It was during the wartime. And the thing was like, why to publish on Haaretz some information that can be used by intelligence. However, I never wrote anything like sensitive. But it was the reaction of the people. And they weren't happy, like someone from Gaza is writing for the Israeli audience during the wartime. So stop Abir Ayoub from writing. And the security responded to that. And they arrested me. And they said, you are putting yourself in danger if you are doing this again.
And Budur Hassan, you're in East Jerusalem. I understand that you frequently cover demonstrations there by Palestinians against the Israeli occupation. Tell us what it's like to cover those, especially when things get violent, as they sometimes do.
Well, I have to stress this distinction between being a Palestinian and being a foreigner. So if you are a Palestinian, if you are a non-white Palestinian who are covering, then the risk that you are running is high and much greater. So you can be targeted, you can be hit, you can be hit either with tear gas, you can be easily arrested. It doesn't help, no matter if you say that you have a press card, they don't even pay attention to that. It's not a priority for them, so they can easily arrest you. Just if you happen to be Palestinian. And there are an increasing number of Palestinian citizen journalists who are not official journalists, so who don't necessarily carry press cards, but they are known to cover protests and to actually do a better job than professional journalists. And they have been targeted by Israeli occupation. And even after the protests, like if those who take pictures, those who document, those who criticize, can be arrested after the demonstration. So if the arrest doesn't immediately happen during a protest, or the journalist isn't injured during a protest, then he can be injured, arrested after that. But I have to stress that in recent months, the targeting of journalists has even increased, especially when they are covering funerals, especially if they are covering events that Israel called terrorist organization, that are attacks against Israeli soldiers or settlers. And even a Washington Post journalist was briefly detained in Jerusalem in February. Mm. He happens to be the bureau chief of the Washington Post. And it's only when he was arrested that actually people paid attention. So there was something happening. There was something wrong happening. That Israel isn't exactly the champion of freedom of press. And they suddenly started questioning. But Palestinians have been experiencing this for decades. And especially in the latest wave of violence, they have been experiencing this. And they have been calling for Israel to stop its violations of their rights, especially the freedom of expression. But we have received very little attention and very little support from outside.
Well, Sari Bashi, let me turn this to you. One of the issues that your group has researched is this policy of administrative detention by the Israeli security forces, which includes Palestinian journalists in a number of cases. What can you tell us about how that has been done?
Sure. Part of the problem is that Israel uses secret evidence to either charge people with security crimes or to arrest them and hold them without charge in what's called administrative detention. Somebody can be held on secret evidence that is shown only to a judge. The accused or the detainee has no access to it, nor does his or her lawyer. And they can be held for renewable periods of 6 months each, so it could actually stretch into years. Often journalists are among those detained. And the claim that Israel says is, oh, this person is being detained because they pose a threat to public safety. It's not because of what that person has written. But we don't know because we don't have access to the evidence, and neither does that person. So there was a famous case not long ago from a journalist from the West Bank, Mohammed Yael Al-Qaik, who worked for a Saudi-based news organization. And his case became famous because he was detained in administrative detention. And he went on a hunger strike, demanding to be charged with a crime if such a crime had been committed. And he was one of the longest-lasting hunger strikers. And the case ended in a kind of negotiation where Israel allowed to agree to release him after a certain amount of time. But it happens all the time, whether it's a journalist who's detained as they try to cross a border crossing and then held or charged with security crimes, or people who are held without trial for quite a long time.
And Abir Ayub Budur had raised this issue of the Washington Post journalist who was an American detained in Jerusalem. What do we know about that case? How did that change things, if at all, for Palestinian journalists?
I want to comment on what Budur said. This is actually interesting because in Gaza, if there is a foreigner journalist and his fixer covering something and then the security by accident came to arrest them, they would arrest the local fixer and then release the international one, go back to your hotel. We are sorry, sir. We are going to deal with the local fixer. And then they detain the local fixer. They beat him. They torture him just because he's from Gaza. And then, the journalist is international. We can't be like making problems with embassies. And this is completely unfair. I'm not saying that he should be tortured or detained, of course. I'm saying that the Gaza government is being unfair to its local journalists, but not the internationals. I remember a case during the wartime when there was an Indian journalist who filmed some armed groups firing a rocket towards Israel. And then he left the Gaza Strip. His fixer was put on house arrest. However, she has nothing to do with the accident. She was home when he was filming, but she was put on house arrest and banned from working during the whole war. And that was completely unfair. But this is how the Hamas government deals with the internationals and the locals. And I think, it has the same to do with when Israel arrests an international one, then, it's bigger than harassing a Palestinian journalist.
I want to remind our listeners that you're tuned into Global Journalist. I'm Jason McClure. This week, a look at restrictions on free speech and reporters in the Palestinian territories. We're joined from East Jerusalem by Palestinian reporter Budur Hassan, from Gaza by another Palestinian reporter, Abir Ayub, and from Johannesburg in South Africa, Sari Bashi, the Israel-Palestine Director for Human Rights Watch. If you're interested in more Global Journalist content, visit us online at globaljournalist.org. There you can read our ongoing series of interviews with journalists in exile around the world and coverage of foreign affairs and press freedom issues. We're also on social media. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Global Journ. Budur Hassan, we We did hear Abir talking about this issue of how foreign journalists and Palestinian journalists are treated differently often in these conflict situations. Your case is an interesting one because you are a Palestinian who does hold Israeli citizenship. So does that, in what way does that grant you some advantages as a reporter when you're covering demonstrations in these conflicts?
Well, I'll first talk about the disadvantages. Abir talked about self-censorship, and I think it's in the Israeli context it's particularly interesting to study self-censorship, because while we supposedly have more rights, while we have more freedom, or supposedly have more freedom, we self-censor ourselves, because there is a great fear that if we write anything that is very critical of the Israeli occupation, especially if we happen to be Palestinian citizens of Israel, who we all the time are told that we should be grateful to all the rights that Israel grants us, and that we should be grateful that we get security and etc., etc., then we are asked not to be overtly critical, because if we are critical, then it wouldn't only hurt us, but it will hurt our families. So there is this self-censorship thing that many Palestinians with Israeli citizenship are too scared to say anything, because that would put them and their families at risk of losing their relative privileges.
And sorry, Boudour, we're losing your audio just a little bit, but if I understand you correctly, what you're saying is that self-censorship isn't practiced solely to avoid repercussions from the Palestinian Authority or from Hamas, but also by the Israeli government.
From by Israel. And there is the issue of censorship that is imposed by Israel, the military censorship that is imposed by Israel. You know, there are many issues that you can't cover, that you are told that you can't cover, because they are under, you know, censorship. For example, there was a Palestinian journalist who was arrested while on his way to Lebanon. He was called Mesut Kayal. And for days, Palestinians who lived in Israel were prevented from talking about him, because that was an issue, a secret issue that shouldn't be dealt with. So this is a very underreported aspect of the Israeli occupation, the numerous times in which there is censorship at place to prevent us from talking about things that are described as very security issues. So this is the type of disadvantage. As my advantage, because I carry an Israeli citizenship, is the freedom of movement. Because Palestinians who live in the West Bank, for instance, even those who carry press cards, can be prevented from going entering Jerusalem and the 48 territories. But I, because I carry an Israeli citizenship, I can go to the West Bank, I can report from the West Bank, I can report freely across, or at least, you know, relatively freely, across the 48 territories, but I obviously can't go to Gaza.
And Sari Bashi,
Israel doesn't allow me to.
We did hear Boudour talking about self-censorship practiced by Palestinian Israeli citizens within Israel. How widespread do you see that?
I mean, I think as Boudour said, everyone kind of self-centers for a different reason. In the West Bank and Gaza, there's fears about arrest. And in Israel, there's also fears about charges being brought. And there also is the military censorship system that Boudour mentioned, which means there are some things that you are not self-centered, but rather you're not allowed to write about. I think maybe part of what's so tragic about these different crackdowns on press work is that the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is actually really complicated. And there are a lot of foreign journalists coming in and out all the time, but they don't have the knowledge and experience and perspective of local journalists. And so you would really want those local journalists to be able to speak and write freely and publish freely. And these crackdowns just make a situation where we're getting a very partial view of what's happening, because some of the most important things are not being written, and the foreign journalists coming in who are free to write about them just don't have that kind of experience or knowledge to address those issues.
And sorry, if I could pick up on a point raised by Abir earlier, we did talk about at the top of the show that a number of radio stations and TV stations in the Palestinian territories have been closed in the past couple of years by the Israeli government on allegations of inciting hatred, inciting violence against Israeli citizens. To what extent are the news organizations doing exactly that? Because as Abir mentioned, they're not all reporting this conflict as sort of neutral, objective bystanders.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, both the Palestinian and Israeli media, I have a lot of criticism of some of the ways they portray the other side. And there certainly are Palestinian stations, especially the ones that are coming in from abroad, not based inside the West Bank, perhaps, that are playing videos or songs that are quite hateful. And in some cases, I mean, I saw a video that was just really terrible, showing kind of brave fighters on the one hand fighting against Israeli soldiers, but then there was a splice in of Orthodox Jews praying in a synagogue. So that's a very, very destructive message. You do have these news stations that are coming from different political parties on the Palestinian side. And on the Israeli side, you just have a way of talking about Palestinians that is demonizing and hateful. And so one of the things we're working on now is documenting the way that suspected attackers are characterized both by Israeli politicians but also by Israeli media. And you'll have cases where a 12-year-old girl is called a terrorist. So whatever a 12-year-old girl does, she's a child first and foremost. It's not, I don't know if it's...
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me just switch that to Abir Ayyub, because our time does grow short here. I did want to ask you about how technology is changing sort of the landscape for media freedoms for reporters in the Palestinian territories. At one time, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, sort of the media landscape was dominated by state-run media, media affiliated by political parties. Now we see so many more blogs, people posting different messages on Facebook, citizen journalists taking their phones and documenting protests. How do you see that that is changing things? Is there more space now for journalists because of the internet?
Of course. Social media is changing the world of journalism because it's making it more like easy, and it's like you are doing coverage on the spot, and not only for journalists actually, because I know so many people in Gaza who are like very active on Twitter, Instagram, and sometimes from Gaza you just need someone who's tweeting or taking pictures, because in Gaza you always have news, you always want to hear from people. So it's not only for us. I mean, for me it's making it like very easy and interesting, but also I know, as I said, many people from Gaza who's spreading the word from Gaza in a very good way. They speak a good English. I know some people who speak Hebrew as well, and they post in Hebrew. And I think this is very important for a place like Gaza, because you always want to tell stories, because Gaza is such a place that has so many stories and up to date all the time. So yeah, it is making it more interesting.
That's going to have to do it for this edition of Global Journalist, a production of the Reynolds Journalism Institute and the University of Missouri. Many thanks to Badur Hassan, Abir Ayyub, and Sari Bashi for joining us. Global Journalist Executive Producer is Joshua Kranzberg. Our Studio Director is Travis McMillan of RJI. Our producer this week is Koichi Shirayanagi. Our audio engineer is Kyle Felling of KBIA. For all of us here at Global Journalist, I'm Jason McClure. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.